Console Boys are back. Brand new week, brand new episode. This is going to be a little, it's going to come out later, so be aware of the dates, just a little heads up. But I am joined with the homie Mikey B.
Always happy to be here, Josh.
Console Boys are definitely back in the building. You know how we do things around here. Start out with just some casual what we've been playing. Mikey B, you want to start us off this week?
No problem. So last week or last episode, we don't go week to week. These episodes will release whenever they release.
Yeah, we'll catch up sooner or later.
It's like wine, you know, you got to let them sit for a bit. And then as long as it sits, the wine tastes better. I think that's how wine works.
True.
Anyways, last time we were talking, I was playing Death's Door. And I probably won't be playing much more Death's Door. I think last week we were talking about some of my hesitation on the game. Mostly the gameplay wasn't as satisfying as I would like it to be. And kind of that gameplay loop wasn't really hitting for me. So I gave it another, session or so, another session to see how it goes. All the positives about the game are still there. Art style is cool. The kind of the humor is interesting. Characters, like the character, the world they're trying to build from like the black and white office space, drab office space to kind of the more colorful world as you're exploring is good. Exploration is fun. So there's a lot of positives, but if the gameplay loop and the gameplay itself isn't as fun as you want it, it really, it's like I saw in Josh's stuff, like it's kind of like all that other stuff is like the sprinkles, the whipped cream, the chocolate sauce, the caramel. But if you don't like the taste of the ice cream, it doesn't really matter how great the other extras are. But what it did do was reminded me of a game called Moonlighter, which I believe was my 2020 most played game. And Moonlighter is a really cool concept. During the day, you run the Moonlight, which is a shop that sells various jewels, rubies, mystical artifacts, treasures, so on and so forth. And then at night, you go into various caves / dungeons, finding those treasures and artifacts. So then you could go back and sell. And as you sell, you're able to upgrade your character, and you get to upgrade your character, and you're doing this because at one point the town that you're in was kind of like a hot town for trade. It's kind of set during that quasi middle age period, we'll say, even though it's kind of like futuristic, but it's still like dealing with like knights and kings and queens and stuff. Mm-hmm. But at one point it was like a popular trade post, and I was kind of falling on a hard time. But like the more interesting items you find, the more people come to your town. So like you're slowly also trying to rebuild your town and your representation of that, like and the rep of that town as you find more interesting items. So I got back into that. I played went through a couple of dungeons. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. This is kind of like the loop. The gameplay is really smooth and solid. And they came out with a DLC called In Between Dimensions. It opens up the gameplay a little bit more. It opens up a few more dungeons / caves. It also changes the older caves because it's called In Between Dimensions. You're able to kind of like, it kind of introduces like a multiverse aspect of it. So inside these old caves, there's these doors that you can find that kind of let you enter the multiverse a little bit. And these are like kind of challenge rooms, mm-hmm. where if you complete the challenge rooms, you get bonus items that you could bring back into real life and sell. So it kind of changes the gameplay up a bit.
Is that one of those games where like if you die, you lose everything?
Yes, it is one of the, but that's that, you brought up a great point, because that's one of the fun parts of this game is there's a little bit of a risk reward. On the first 5 dungeons and like the main game, there's 3 floors. Mm-hmm. So like after you leave floor one, you have the option of floor 2 to be like, cool, I played 401, I completed the boss, I got a good amount of stuff, I want to exit. Yeah. Or do you want to risk it knowing that floor 2 has higher level items? And as you know, floor 3 would have even higher level mm-hmm. items than that. And then based on the cave, like the further the cave, like the K5 has higher level loot or like gems mm-hmm. or things or items you can sell, and K1 has lower level. So there's a little bit of that risk reward, which is a decision you have to make after you kind of beat every stage of the dungeon or cave.
What was, do you have a story of like your biggest gamble? Like you hit like a, like, okay, I hit level 4. I'm feeling good. You know, I'm on one. I feel like my skills are good. And then you hit like part five in the cave and then you die.
It actually happened pretty recently. Yeah. It actually happened on one of my first sessions, because besides running the shop, people come to your town, like come to your shop and like have like side quests. Be like, I need 5 triple cell batteries, which is an item you find in the tech dungeon. I'm like, cool, you need to have 3 days to find it.
Oh.
I'm like, great. And if you find these, you know, find this item within 3 days, I'll pay you $100,000. I'm like, cool. And I'm like, and you could say no or yes based on like how unique that item is within the cave. I'm like, well, that's pretty, you know, that item is pretty, that pops up quite often in that cave. So I'll take the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with my first run back into the tech cave, I was like, I found two of them. I'm feeling good. I got past the first dungeon, the first like layer, going on to the second layer. I'm like, and then I hit that second dungeon. Is this, there was just a swath of enemies that came at me, and I'm like, oh no, I made a mistake. I probably should have exited at like dungeon one. So it happened very quick. Also a little wrinkle on like if you die, you lose your items. You're able to keep up to 5 items that regardless if you die, you'll have to keep with you. Gotcha. It was fine that I'd actually almost refresher to be like, oh man, I forgot I could have moved those triple soul batteries into like that top 5 slot that keeps me no matter what. And I would have, you know, kept those batteries and I could have completed that quest a little bit easier than I.
Nice, anyway. Dude.
Yeah. So no, yeah, you brought up a good point. The risk reward is a great part of that loop. Is like, do you want to like, you know, take that chance to get more loot, or you just want to play more conservative?
Yeah. What's the furthest you've gone in one layer, or like in one dungeon layer?
Well, to beat the dungeon and like open up other dungeons, you have to get to all 3 layers in one fell swoop.
Gotcha. And then there's more layers to that, but
then it opens up. Yeah, this opens up another dungeon.
Gotcha.
And then you have to get up to 3 layers. And this new dungeon that opens, it's 9 layers.
Damn.
But I heard there's like at some point you could buy a device that like allows you to buy back into like a certain floor.
Oh, cool.
So like you beat floor 1, 2, 3 so many times, or you beat 1, 2, 3. Yeah, like let's say so many times that like for like this price or this item will warp you to level 3 instead of like going through the rigmarole of going through 1, 2, and 3. Like, we'll just warp you to level 3.
Like a fast travel sort of thing.
Yep.
That's dope.
So that costs you money. So then you have to make enough money. So it's always like this balance between, okay, if I spend that, you know, X amount of money to warp, obviously you want to get that money back during your play session.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Cause it's like, well, I spent like $20,000.
Yes.
I need that shit back.
I got exactly. You spend $20,000, and I died, and I only recouped, you know, 5,000. You just lost, you know, 15. Yeah. So there's that balance too.
Ooh,
balance to the game.
It's where can we find this?
This game is everywhere.
Okay,
you can play it on PlayStation, Switch, Xbox, PC. I think it's even on mobile.
How are like your abilities? Is it like the smash A to do combos, or is it just like? How's the fighting style to it?
A does a regular attack. If you press A 3 times, it does like the classic combo. three kick combo. B does your heavy attack.
Gotcha.
And you get to hold 2 weapons at a time. You can hold a sword and a shield.
Cool.
Which allows you to block, because the B attack would be the shield.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to hold like a big sword, which does more damage but slows you down when you move, and like the attack itself is very slow. There's a spear that is kind of a mix. It gives you a little bit longer range, but the hits are not as powerful. Then there's a fist. There's like kind of like boxing gloves almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that is obviously faster, but you're taking the risk because you have to get closer. And then there's classic bow and arrow.
Kind of like the Hades style of like pick your weapon before you go in sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you upgrade these weapons, or is it just like base weapons?
You can upgrade them.
Nice. Okay.
You can upgrade them on 2 paths. One path is kind of a linear path where it's like they just get stronger and stronger, or there's an alternate path where they also get stronger, but not as much, but you get like elemental effects.
Ooh.
Like now this bow and arrow is, you know, fire. Ice.
Yeah.
Ice, fire, ice, electricity, water.
Sick.
So that brings into you like, so it's less powerful, but like because it has those elementary, it'll hurt. It'll like hit, mm-hmm. it'll continuously to take damage, off enemies' yeah. life. Exactly, damage until longer than just like one hit. So there's like you could do that route too. And there's also upgrades to your armor.
Yeah.
There's also upgrades to your shop because right now like your shop starts off at like two tables. You could sell like four things. Like.
Yeah.
And then it expands to like four tables and then like two glass cases and you can put like the highest price things in there because you have to watch out for bandits because people steal from your.
Oh, fuck.
So you have to like, so not, it's not. So as you're like rearranging what you want to sell, you first have to like first ask the like a game in itself because you don't know how much to sell your items for. So sometimes you sell something for like $50 and like from like the expressions on the like, there's like emoji expressions on like the characters, like. So based on some of the expressions, like if they like have like their eyes really raised up, like, oh my God, this is a great deal. You'd be like, man, I sold that for two less. I like sold it for $50. I probably could have sold it for like 150.
Oh shit.
So then you like, you don't know, like, or like, oh, or like they have like the mound, like the mad frowny face. And then like, okay, 200 is too much. I'll let you drop it down to like 150 and see if they buy it.
Oh shit.
You have to figure out like the right price of that. Then you also have to deal with, there's always a bandit or two that comes in there. And there's also specific type of customers that come in. There's like, there's always like a guy or a girl who only will come in for like armor objects and like different swords or different shields and stuff. So you have to have like those on the ready for them because they wouldn't buy like normal products that I sell. So like they're like specifically only gonna buy like a sword and sealed type item. So there's, so even that game is like, so that's why, yeah, that's why this game is, that's why the loop is so fun, because obviously the dungeon crawling, that's cool, that's like classic 2D top down, like,
run a business.
Top down Zelda. Yeah, but like the business part is like, initially when I play this game, like the business part, it's gonna be fine. I'll get through it, you know, whatever. Now, but now when you have to like factor in all these things, it becomes a lot funner.
Hmm,
well, it's a solid game. It's on, I think it's on sale right now for the Switch for like $6.25 or something like that.
On the Switch?
Yeah. Like I think right now, because the DLC was on sale for like, it's like for like $3 or something like that, and I think the game itself is on sale for like six something.
Survey says $6.24.
There you go.
Damn.
By the time you're listening to it, it probably won't be $6.24.
Yeah.
But
let's just date it. This is on 2/6.
This is on February 6th. This episode might come out in February. This episode might come out in March. Who knows?
Might come out in 3 weeks.
True, but yeah, currently, yeah. And this game is on sale pretty frequently because it's pretty old. But if, yeah, like I said, it's on Switch, it's on Xbox, it's on PlayStation, it's on Steam, you could play it on mobile. So it is on any, it's on all available screens pretty much.
This, I think I'm gonna play this.
I think you'll like it.
It has a little asterisk on that.
I think you might like it because it has that loop, it has a good loop. It has that goal.
Yeah, you're
a completist, so you definitely would want to get unlock every single item possible.
Yeah, I like how this
plus
looks.
Plus, it can
too.
Be played on a quick slash too. You'd be like, because you can mark the items you need to upgrade, and then you can like, you okay, I need, you know, a fig of you know, a cherry, a fig of a tree, and like a big log. And then you could go into like the forest dungeon and like,
yeah,
try to find those and be like, okay, I did that quick 20, 30 minutes. You're out. And then, you know, so it does, it has like that, like quick loop. If you just have like 30 minutes to spare, and obviously you could play for hours if you just want to, you know, really get into that longer grind game.
Yeah. This looks really cool, dude. I like this. Nice, man. Have you been playing anything else?
No, that's it for this
nice.
Week.
Well, Moonlighter looks dope.
Thank you.
And there's a demo too, bro.
There is a demo, so you could give it a go. Bring back demos. I think that could be our mantra. Bring back demos.
Demos. Which is kind of gave me like a really cool idea. But gaming wise, ladies and gentlemen, I have not been playing anything but Pokemon. So Nobody Saves the World, see ya. Warzone, see ya. Except for Strike Force. I'm still on Strike Force for sure. But it's all Pokemon 24/7, dude. Pokemon is everything I wanted it to be and more. This is so much fun for me as, I guess, a diehard Pokemon fan too, dude. Like, I just absolutely love, you know, doing a mission in an area, just kind of looking around to find some shit and maybe look for some rare Pokemon, maybe some shinies, or just trying to do the Pokedex thing. And I can't put it down, man. I talked to you earlier. We talked a little bit before off mic, and I did a quick sesh before we jumped on too. I just can't not do a sesh, and I'll probably do a sesh after we finish. I'm not even going to lie to you, dude. I got a lot of shit to get done. I'm a busy man in Pokemon. but yeah, I can't put this down, dude. This game is a lot of fun. Like, besides the nitpicky stuff, which is just super nitpicky, like some of the graphics are kind of ass, but it's like that doesn't even really matter at this point. Like, yeah, it could be better, but you know, like I said, we're on Nintendo. It's not like the Series X, so. But everything about this, man, I think I'm about to wrap up the story, like the main story quest. But obviously, like, there's the two-way. I don't know what the other way is, but there's obviously one of them is you have to save the world from this glitch thing or from, like, the space rift that's above the whole area. That's, like, fucking with some of, like, these region-specific, like, Pokemon lords, which is, like, the ones that are, like, watching over the villages and shit. So I'm doing that, and I'm on the last one, so... That's going to finish that. And then obviously there's the filling out the Pokedex, which God knows how many Pokemon are actually in this Pokedex, just because I've seen Pokemon from like different generations in this thing. So there's a lot to do, a lot of side quests in it too. I feel like I've picked up every side quest I can as I go along and try to do this shit, but they involve a lot of like some of them you have to find people, some of them you have to find specific Pokemon, and some of them you have to fill out the Pokedex. So it's just a lot of shit to do, man. And like, what's cool is like, you really have to play around with like the time of day to find things and kind of play around. Like, some of them are looking for ghost Pokemon and stuff like that. So definitely, I'm sinking hours in here, man. I'm sinking like, I'm going to ballpark it at like least 20 hours, dude. Like, that could be on the minimum side. Like, this is going to be not like a fun fact, but I pretty much milked out like a 6-hour sesh yesterday, dude. Like, we got home and I was like, let's just play for a little bit. Next thing you know, it's like 6 p.m. and I was like, I got to work out, bro. So I was like, I got to stop. So I'm definitely... well emerged, submerged in this game, and I don't think it's gonna stop anytime soon. So, which hopefully I can wrap this up by March. You and I talked because Kirby comes out, so and maybe to squeeze that Moonlighter demo in here somewhere. So, that's really all I have, man. Like, this game is really everything I've always wanted, as you know, me a Pokemon trainer. Since I was a little, like a little child, little kid, and what's so great about this, dude, is like, you could only get better from here. You know what I mean? Like, this game is really good, but who knows what the next game is gonna be like, and it's gonna be based off of that. And this is already pretty great. So, only good news for Pokemon, I guess.
What fixes would you like to see? Like, say, like you're saying, this is like a good base. This is the template going forward. Like, what would you like to see added to this that would like take it to like the next level or like a
like this actual game or the next one they would release?
The next one in the future, like the next, yeah, the next one in this series, we'll call it.
The next one, I would love. Like, I know they're kind of going back and redoing games. If they did Red and Blue, like Arceus, I would pre-order like the Super Collector's Edition because that one just means so much to me. And like, dude, having all of this with like some of that older stuff, like, holy shit, that'd be so awesome. It's like very familiar territory, but like you're catching Pokemon differently and the way you kind of move about catching Pokemon is just, it's on a whole new level. You know what I mean? Because like now you have to pay attention to like, you know, they can attack you without you actually fighting them. Like, you can try to, like, you know, use berries and stuff like that to lure them, and like some you have other objects to kind of like do damage to the Pokemon mm-hmm. to help you catch them. So for example, there's like spoiled apricots you can throw at them that paralyze them. Mm. And when they're paralyzed, it makes it easier for you to catch without having to fight. So the tactics of that with like the red and blue Pokedex and like the regions would be awesome. That would sell it for sure.
Is the game more challenging? Is this the most challenging Pokemon game you've played in a while?
It's weird because it's like not the same thing. So before, like I was talking to my girlfriend about it, like before, like if you're playing red and blue, for example, like you can just catch one and like that's it. Like you don't have to worry about like filling out the Pokedex all the way. So when I say fill out the Pokedex, like the Pokedex, you have to, there's certain tasks for certain Pokemon. So like I think for every Pokemon, you have to catch a good chunk of them to really complete the task. And then like there's some where you need to see some moves from it. If you can evolve it, how many times you feed it, like just a bunch of like little shit like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to somehow make all of that equal to 10 and you complete the Pokedex, but then you can like perfect it if you do all of them. So that's one thing I don't get is like how the points work in it. Just cause like, I wish I could pull up a screenshot of it, but it didn't make sense to me. It's like, how do you get all of these things? And it only equals 6, but there's like 10 things checked off. So who knows, but it's very, for this style, it's challenging because you have to like really maneuver around Pokemon. Like I said, you can get hurt, you can black out, and you know, you try to be as sneaky as possible, but the higher you get and the more, you know, further along the story you get, everything gets harder too. So everything just starts attacking you all of a sudden. And if you're trying to catch one specific one, you have to be really, you know, smart in how you throw berries, you know, how you hide and which Pokeballs you do have to try to catch this. But then also too, there's areas where they have alphas, which are like giants, and they'll fuck you up, dude. Like there's a bunch. I sent you that video of that Snorlax, mm-hmm. dude. Like you could just try to fight an alpha and you can get completely wrecked by this thing that's like 6 feet tall or whatever size it is. But it's an alpha and it just does a lot of damage. So I can't get enough of it, man. I really can't. And good job to the Pokemon team for releasing this. And I wish we had it sooner. So that's all I have for Pokemon, dude, and what I've been playing. Like, there's a good chance that next week it'll be the same thing. Just because I got to be the best, bro.
Well, to be honest, there's a good chance I'll just be talking more about Moonlighter. So that just gives me the Pokemon Moonlighter segment of the pod for a couple True. Of weeks.
And which is completely fine. And that's just how this shit works out, bro. So definitely coming back with more Pokemon news next week. I also mentioned that, you know, re-downloaded Red Dead Redemption. Maybe just to get a quick sesh with the homies in and, you know, really take a break from the Switch and let the Switch, you know, take a solid day off since I've been grinding this bad boy for the last 2 months when it was off for like a year. So big ups to the Switch for not blowing up yet. So we're going to keep it moving. We got a little mini game right now. Mikey B's got a little something for us before we get into the news.
So this little mini game will be about the Nintendo Switch. So I'm glad that after not playing for a while, it didn't blow up.
True.
Because this week in news, Nintendo announced that it sold 103.54 million consoles, which put it in the top 5 consoles of all time. Now the little mini game is, do you think you could guess at the other top 4 consoles? 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I think we talked about this one already, didn't we?
I think, yeah. The last minigame, well, so it does help you out a bit. You know the best-selling console of all time. We talked about it in last week's.
The PS2.
So you got, you know, number one. Very good. But do you know 2, 3, 4? To help you out a bit, when they say consoles, they also mean handheld consoles, too. So like,
oh, like the Game Boy?
Yeah, that would be one. Want to say the Game Boy? Is that one of your answers?
Yes. So it's PS2,
number one, correct? Game Boy is number 3. Switch is number 5. Can you name 2 and 4?
Xbox 360.
Sadly, it's not.
Fuck. Any Xbox.
No Xbox. Sorry, Xbox. The best.
Man, selling... fuck.
The best selling Xbox is at 50 million. That was Xbox One.
Damn. My last two guesses would have
Xbox 360 was at number 9 at 85 mil.
And handheld is included.
Handheld is included. You named the Game Boy. / Game Boy Color.
I am going to say the Nintendo Wii.
And that was number 5. It got bumped to number 6.
Fuck. Well, guess I'm out of that one. PS4.
PS4 is number 4. One away, Josh. Number 2.
The number 2. Or my number 2 guess. I don't know, man. Super Nintendo?
No, it is the Nintendo DS.
Ah, oh, damn it.
At 154 mil.
Son of a fish.
But pretty solid.
What a list, dude. Like, well, first of all, what the hell, Xbox? Like, we got to do better, bro. We got to do better, man. That's not cool. But yeah, the Game Boy, dude. Like,
yeah, because yeah, Xbox is number 9 at Xbox 360 at 85 mil is number 9. Number 8 is PlayStation 3. Number 7 is the Wii U. Number 6 is the original PlayStation. And then you already know the top 5.
Well, fucking crazy, dude. So is that with the Game Boy? My question is that like the Game Boy Advance? Are those different ones in there?
That's different. The Game Boy Advance is at number 11 at 81 mil.
Oh,
the 3DS is its own category at number 12 at 75 mil. So when they say Game Boy, that's me the Game Boy / Game Boy Color. They combine both of those.
Gotcha. Yeah, the DS and the Game Boy. Who would have thought? Those are pretty cool transitions in video games, you know? Which gave me Pokemon, and here we are now, you know? Icarumba. All right, Mikey B, we got some news.
Oh, certainly, we got some more news. The big news currently of this week would be Sony buying Bungie. Bungie is the original creators of Halo, which is still owned by Microsoft. So Halo is not coming to PlayStation anytime soon. But they do own Destiny. They're the makers of Destiny, and they actually also own the rights to Destiny. So that is their big claim.
But doesn't Destiny's already free, isn't it? Like on the Game Pass and like I think the game's free, isn't it?
The game's free no matter what.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, the game's free no matter what. It's still going to be free besides, you know, buying whatever the next expansion packs are that are coming out within, you know, the next couple of years.
And also didn't PlayStation say that they didn't just do this because, you know, Microsoft bought
this was Activision. Like 5-6 months in the making.
Yeah,
as most deals are. It's not like, you know, the next day we're like,
you know what, fuck this
Bungie, what's up,
I'll buy you.
I got some millions I could send your way.
I've got 5 mil with your name on it. Are you down? Yeah, this is cool. Like it's interesting to see. Well, it's not a bidding war or like any of that stuff. Like, it's just seeing companies, you know, they're good for the company so they can develop behind bigger brands too. Like, you know, having Activision with Microsoft is dope. Mm-hmm. And having Bungie with PlayStation is dope too. It would be awesome to see Halo on PlayStation, which would be sick, but obviously, you know, that's not going to happen. Or even like the new Halo, it's still like not even done by Bungie anyway. So,
sure.
I saw a meme that I don't know if it was real or not, but it was from like Nintendo, and it was like, oh, my bad, we got here late, like about the buying stuff. It's like, we got here late, like, oh, I wasn't paying attention, or we'll take EA. which is so funny that it's probably not a real tweet because I just looked on their Twitter to try to find it. But it's just funny that that's what it's like now. So a lot of what's also been really cool about this, dude. Like, I saw it on Reddit. A lot of people are making really cool infographics of who's left company wise and what they own and stuff. And you get to see who lives with what. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fascinating that there's just so many like nested companies and all of these things. I'm like, they get to go exclusively with other companies like PlayStation, for example, and stuff like that. So big ups to PlayStation for getting Bungie, and big ups to Microsoft. And we, the gamers, are the ones that are going to benefit from it. So this is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, Bungie's main reason they wanted to is because Sony has more resources. Sony's a billion-dollar company, so they partnered up with a company that has more resources, so they could still produce that you know same content but at a better rate and expand their content to you know to TV or streaming or whatever. So no, it's a win.
That's huge too. TV.
It also helps out Sony revenue-wise because a lot of people play Destiny. Destiny is like top five like most played game on PlayStation.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Like based on hours, it's like it's still like extremely popular.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's like kind of their take on trying to get more subscribers, sort of thing. Kind of like the Game Pass sort of thing. You have like a million people on the Game Pass that's constantly giving you more like benefits to, you know, keep pushing that. So
yeah, because now Sony gets all the money that people. So when people buy, you know, new skins for their Guardian character, when they buy the new DLC, no matter if they're playing on PlayStation, Xbox, PC or like Stadia, it's like it all goes to Sony. It all goes into Sony's pocket, so it's like a new revenue stream for them.
I wonder if they start bringing out like they start milking it. You know what I mean? Where they're like, oh, check out this Destiny, you know, fucking Nightmare Before Christmas bundle. You know what I'm saying? Like something like that to get more, not money wise, but to be more. You know, it's more appealing to buy shit. Because I know Call of Duty did that too, where like they've been bringing in, you know, Die Hard. Bruce Willis is in the game. The Scream guy's in the game. The guy from Saw is in the game. And like, it definitely makes you think about buying stuff. Because I'm like, I get to be, you know, Chucky, just murking fools, you know? He's not.
That wouldn't be cool. I feel like Aliens would be like, because it's really like kind of sci-fi stuff. And I feel like Aliens would be like a good collaboration if they wanted to go that route.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Or maybe, or it could be kind of a negative thing where it turns into like a Fortnite thing where they're just like milking everybody. Like Master Chief is in Fortnite, you know, fucking this, all three Spider-Mans are in Fortnite sort of thing. So either way, good stuff on the move for Bungie. So
another acquisition that we kind of slept on a bit, it happened earlier in January, was Take-Two, which is they make
Rockstar.
Yeah, you know, they're owned by Rockstars, which means they make Grand Theft Auto. They bought Zynga, which is super popular in the mobile space. They make so many games like Farmville, Word with Friends, Toon Blast, Harry Potter, Puzzles and Spells, Empires and Puzzles, Golf Rival. Toy Blast, Zynga Poker, et cetera. Yeah, they're huge in this space. If you're ever playing a game, there's you know, 1 in 5 chance that one of those ads is going to be for a game for Zynga.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, dude. Like, if you've gotten a game from the App Store that's free, there is a 99% chance we've all seen that Toon Blast ad and that Zynga for you, dude. Like, it is, you can't miss it. So I'm sure everybody knows what that is. So it's so nuts that I didn't even know they made that. And I just thought it was like some one-off goofy-ass company trying to get me to download this game and I have to watch like a million ads. But now they're like behind, you know, another company that's very credible. Sub companies like Rockstar, and I wonder what that means for online gaming. I wonder if they're gonna try to link that with like maybe a new GTA app, you know? Which
that's what I was thinking. That was my main thought. Is does that mean that Grand Theft Auto Online is gonna be on mobile? or some sort of like, or some sort of version, like, you know, there's like that Call of Duty mobile game that's mm-hmm. super popular. Will there be like a Grand Theft Auto online mobile that will have like a similar
go side and side by side?
Yes,
that would be dope. Because as a little side news topic, that Grand Theft Auto Rockstar did announce that Grand Theft Auto 6 is in the works. So we'll probably get that in like 12 years. So with that, that's plenty of time to come up with an app. But see, my thing is, dude, like, I don't know if you would know, but I think Watch Dogs try to do this similarly, where you had an app that kind of went along with the game that you could play with. I could be like super wrong, but I feel like that was one of the things that was kind of advertised with it, but this could be awesome with like a more lifestyle game with like GTA, to where like,
or
Red Dead 2.
Cause as you know, like iPhones or like mobile phones in general are becoming like just as powerful as at least the Switch or other consoles.
Yeah, for sure.
So they could, and then streaming is obviously taking off. So it's possible that a game intensive, graphically intensive game like Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead 2 could be like squeezed down onto the phone and have that mobile experience just be as well as console.
Which brings me to like a really interesting question. We are gamers.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if Moonlighter came with an app to help you with the game? Would that be more appealing for you to download it just to see if it would help your game? Gameplay, or would you just say, nah, I'll just play the game by itself?
Yeah, but exclusively, probably just play the game by itself.
Yeah, see, so it's just like, it's an interesting space to kind of be like, hey, you need this app to play the game, but it's like, do I though? Like, is it really going to help me out? Like,
yeah, like what does it do? Is it just like more like cosmetic? Is it more like tips and tricks? Like, oh, you're in the, you know, the tech dungeon. Did you know to the left there is, you know, this big chest that you could get? Is it like if it, like, it all depends. If it plays like more like a guide, maybe that could be kind of interesting.
It's like, do you remember Pop Up Video on like VH1?
I do.
It's like that. It's like
that'll be. You know, if it was that bad, like if you play the game, there's like creator's commentary. Whoop. That'd be kind of fun. Actually, now you might have someone with creator's commentary on a game. That'd be cool. They already do that for, like, obviously, like, Blu-rays and DVDs. But, like, as you're playing the game, it, like, pops off and being like, hey.
We originally wanted this, you know, to be orange or some shit. Or, like.
Mm-hmm. Like, a behind the scenes how the game was made as you're playing it. That'd be kind of a cool mode if, like, after you, like, you beat the game a couple times, like, you're, like, you know the game in and out.
Yeah. So you that would be sweet. But as far as, like, gameplay-wise, like, let's say it's, like, you're able to see the dungeon. It's like a map.
Okay.
So like if you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how the game plays, but if it's like, oh, should I heal up or can I kind of look ahead and see, you know, this is what's potentially over there to help me out, or like stats of the next layer where it's like, oh, these are level 40 attacks and stuff and so on and so forth. Or would you rather just wing it. So that's why I wonder, like, this is a good, you know, acquisition for them, but like as far as like how we're trying to play it out, as it would be interesting to see how other people feel about it. Like, you know, the streamers, the ones that actually make a living off of this, to be like, hey, this comes with an app, do you want to buy it? So but I wonder if like we'll get like any big title games in apps.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for like Grand Theft Auto mobile, Red Dead Redemption mobile.
I think those are
BioShock mobile.
Yeah.
I think they have a racing game called Midnight Club mobile. So I'm thinking like
a Midnight Club would be dope.
So I'm thinking take like those games and like downsize them onto the mobile phone. Versus like the app route, versus like a secondary screen route. Like as you're playing Grand Theft Auto 6, you could open up the Grand Theft Auto 6 app, and it has, you know, like it has like the mini, it has like your map, and it has like
a collection secret of like missions or something,
secret missions and stuff, like kind of almost like it's like we're gonna call it the pop up
the pop up
video screen.
True.
Yeah,
Yeah, this is okay. This isn't as huge as obviously like Bungie or anything like that, but that's a solid pickup. They got a lot of, you know, heavy hitting games in there, and it puts them in the app world now. So I wonder what cool shit could come from that. You know, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, it's more mysterious with them. Like, I think with, like, we were talking last episode with Xbox, with Microsoft buying Activision this week, with PlayStation buying Bungie, it's like you kind of already see the roadmap of where they're headed towards.
Yeah.
And with this one, it's like it's somewhat unknown, which is makes it a little bit difficult to predict.
Yeah, so I wonder, there was news also too about PlayStation buying another company on the topic of buying companies.
Oh, they said I think you said they're not done yet. They're going to buy more companies.
Yeah.
This was just like the start. This is not like the end game for them, just buying one company, Bungie.
You think they'll buy a mobile company too?
You know what? I read, sadly, Stadia. I heard that Stadia might be out of the game of being a platform and offering more Stadia as a technology,
mm-hmm.
as a streaming technology.
Yeah.
And it was rumored that Bungie was going to buy Stadia, like the technology behind Stadia,
yeah,
for themselves prior to getting purchased getting bought off by Sony.
That would have been cool, just to kind of see where that goes. But you say that, but I feel like I just saw something that Stadia is going to rebrand.
Interesting.
That Stadia is going to rebrand and kind of reapproach this differently in the coming year. That's what I thought I read /saw on like Instagram, I think. But obviously, I didn't follow through with the source, so this is not real news on my part. But the Google Stadia rebrand or kind of like a reapproach to it could be cool now too, especially like we talked last time, like this is like the perfect time now, I feel. So who knows, and hopefully Xbox buys something else and we get this whole buying war, make it a little more interesting.
Well, based on Kotaku, the service has been demoted within Google and will instead power the experience for other companies. So they're selling, I guess, like they're trying to gonna sell the technology to other places, to other companies.
Oh, for Stadia?
Yep. That's give you the link. Let me give you the link. So I guess maybe that's the rebranding of it. So I think we're both kind of right. It's just the different sources.
I guess I gotta fucking check my sources next time. Besides seeing just some shit on Instagram, you know.
Yeah, I think we're both right. They're not like, so they're pivoting to like as a service versus like being like go to Stadia to play this. Like, well, why don't you buy our Stadia technology? This is. Which you kind of predicted when I think when Stadia came out that Google only stays with the technology for a couple of years. And if it doesn't, you know, pop off or pick up steam, then it's like, well, that was fun. We're going to do something else.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I knew I can trace this back, but like way ahead of its time, dude. Because now,
it really is.
Right now, if let's say PlayStation were to buy Stadia, now you can compete with xCloud.
Yes, 100%.
So, and now you kind of even the playing field with Xbox buying that tech. So,
yeah, because
it's like it only makes sense for PlayStation to kind of go in that direction.
Oh, I agree with you. Because the problem with Stadia initially was, where are the games? Why are you paying money for the games that are already available elsewhere? And so on and so forth. But now if they partner with PlayStation, PlayStation has the games. It has Uncharted, it has Last of Us, it has Horizon Zero Dawn, it has Gran Turismo, God of War, Spider-Man, etc. So if you compare like those, you know, top tier games with that technology, then I think that you're right, then it can complete with xCloud.
Yeah, and now you have all the Bungie stuff too, to where you could put Destiny into this new tech and kind of promote it that way too.
Mm-hmm.
So Google, man, I'm telling you. Google's probably going to drop, like, you know, a contact lens, and it's going to be way ahead of its time right now. So that'll be really cool to see where that goes. I would love to see, like, if PlayStation does make a move on it or if Xbox just snags it up.
That'd be interesting.
Like a Game Pass everywhere with Stadia. So
That'd be wouldn't it be that would be a smart move on their part business wise.
Yeah, that'd be nuts. So the goal is to try to get a job with Xbox and just get all the inside information and see what's really going on.
That's true. Because on a lot of TVs, Chromecast is already like built in. So that means if Chromecast is already built in and Xbox buys that technology, that means Game Pass is built into your TV. So you don't even have to buy.
Boom.
You don't have to buy anything. It's already built in. So it's already available to you.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to. Do you got anything else on this, dude?
No, I do not.
I'm going to take the time to eat my words real quick, Mikey B.
Okay.
Because I think in the last episode, I shit on Ollie Ollie World. It looked cool, but I thought it was going to look terrible and, you know, Skate City, disaster of a game. And it's getting out, and we're getting a lot of good reviews on it. And I saw some gameplay. It looks fun, dude. It really does. And it got an 8 and a 9 in some, like, very credible sources. Mm-hmm. And they obviously take it with a grain of salt because obviously it's how you play it. But the 8 and the 9 for Ollie Ollie World really are helping me sway over. So you and I talked off mic about what would be the deciding factor for me is how you do tricks. But now kind of thinking about it, dude, like I was thinking about it because I was talking about the nitpicky shit with Pokemon. And I was like, you know what, man, like. Maybe my whole trick thing with the sticks is super nitpicky and I shouldn't really dog the game because of it and maybe give it a shot. You know what I mean? Like, it's not expensive. It's $30. Not too bad. Nope. And seeing more gameplay and, you know, seeing some of the cool shit the game's doing is like, I might have to give it a go, dude. Like I said, we saw some videos prior to, and, you know, it's not perfect the way I would like it to. But again, Pokemon's got shit graphics. So the least I could do is play this game. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, true. Plus, skateboarding games are few and far between.
True.
Skate 4 is, you know, 2030. Who knows when Skate 4 is ever going to come out?
Which there was actually news about that because EA had a thing.
Oh, cool. So maybe it will be coming out before 2030. That's good.
But yeah, so I'm going to just, you know, give my,
oh, look at that. You're right.
My apologies to Ollie Ollie World and, you know, didn't mean to really shit on the game. It looks great. And I think I'm going to try it out, dude.
My apologies on Skate 4. This is from PC Gamer. We really do a live podcast here. Skate 4 might arrive sooner than expected.
But the one thing I saw about that too, dude, is like Skate 4, it's going to. It seemed like they really wanted to focus on the content creation from us.
You're right.
And it's like, come on, man. Like, what do you build the game out? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to turn into a Mario Maker of Skate, pretty much, where it's like, hey, we're releasing this game. You guys create whatever the hell you want to create.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. First of all, that'd be awesome. But I don't want to do that. I want to just, you know, you build a city, make a couple cool skate spots, and let me just go to town. Even if you add a couple new mechanics into it, cool, new tricks, fine. Even if the story is kind of ass, like just the idea of just going back into skating in Skate 4 would be so cool. Just don't make me have to do the builder, you know? What they said, there was something else in there too besides that I noticed. Also hella stats too, by the way, that I just see.
Skate 4 will be coming to the PC for the first time.
Awesome.
Yeah, but you're right. The main component is user-generated.
Yeah, which is kind of... It's sus. Unless they get behind, like... What would be really cool, dude, is, like, if they had DLC from skate companies. So, there's a skate brand. It's called The Barracks, right? So, The Barracks, if you... teamed up with The Barracks and have, you know, you can design the actual barracks itself in the game, awesome. Or if you got with, like, you know, escape brands, you know, you go with whatever brand, I'm blanking right now, but any brand to build their own skate sections, that could be super dope. I this is a live podcast. You know how it goes, how we do these things. I'm looking at this graphic right now, which is EA's year in gaming. And I'm going to run through it real quick.
Okay.
Just to see what you think. If you were to guess which sport game was one of the most popular franchises of EA, what would you
think? FIFA Sport.
Are you looking at the same graphic?
No.
I'm like, are you cheating, bro? You seeing what I'm looking at?
No,
bro?
But like, soccer is the most popular sport in the world.
You're right.
Football in every other country besides our country.
You're right. True. So the most popular franchises of 2021 were Apex and FIFA. Which
Apex is interesting. I don't know Apex. I didn't know Apex still had that grip on that market.
Yeah, I mean, neither.
I thought it was pretty much like Fortnite, Call of Duty is kind of like the top two games for that like free to play shooter.
Yeah, definitely. Which
but good for Apex.
Definitely.
Did you ever play Apex?
I downloaded it. Okay. I never went anywhere with it.
Fair enough.
So new players by location. There was 30% new players in Europe, 25% new players in the U.S., 22% in Asia and Pacific, and 15% in South and Latin America. So a couple of FIFA stats for you real quick, my guy. There were 22.3 billion goals scored, 9.7 billion matches played, and the most popular matchup was Paris Saint-Germain, Hermain, versus Liverpool. Quick Madden stats for you.
Okay.
9.4 billion offensive touchdowns made. Do you know a lot of football?
I know well enough, I hope. I think. It'll be a test right now, Josh. I know football.
There's two things that are listed in this EA thing.
Okay.
If you were to guess who are the top players by touchdowns, who would you guess? That's a really hard question, I feel.
Aaron Rodgers?
That's one. That's actually number one.
Now, if I was thinking logically about it, I would say the receiver he always throws to Davante Adams would be number two. But who's the most popular receiver outside of that?
They're quarterbacks.
Both quarterback. Oh, then Tom Brady?
Hold on. One, two, three, four, five. There's five quarterbacks and one wide receiver.
So
you got two of them. Aaron Rodgers,
Tom Brady. Russell Wilson?
Yep.
Interesting. Oh, the Cowboys guy, Derek. There's a lot of Cowboys fans in the world.
Dak Prescott?
Yeah. No. Interesting. Okay. Saints quarterback, no luck. Sorry, Saints fans. Dude, the guy from Buffalo, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
Nope.
Really?
Patrick Mahomes is on there. Yep.
So I have what? How many? What am I missing?
You're missing two, but
a quarterback and a receiver.
A quarterback and a receiver.
Can you give me a clue?
One of them is on the Chiefs.
Oh, Hill.
Tyreek Hill. Yeah. And the other one is.
Just give me the conference he plays in, like NFC, AFC.
He's AFC.
Okay.
Which conference are the Steelers in?
They're the AFC. And that would be Ben Roethlisberger?
It's not the Steelers, but they're in that conference.
Okay.
The quarterback from that conference.
Oh, Joe Burrow?
No.
I don't know.
He was on the cover of Madden last year, I believe.
Sadly, that does not help me, Josh.
It's Lamar Jackson.
Ah, Lamar Jackson. Very good.
With the Ravens.
Gotcha.
Good job, dude. That's a lot of... And pretty much like the same answers are for the top teams in Madden. And I'll go through those real quick. Mm-hmm. So the number one team in Madden was the Chiefs, which, sorry, so sad, not going to the Super Bowl. Number two, the Packers. Sorry, not going to the Super Bowl. Number three, the Ravens. Four, the Buccaneers, which makes me sad. Number five is the Seahawks. And number six are my Saints, which is very surprising.
Yes.
Because we have no team and it's very depressing. So those are the top six teams in Madden. I don't really give a shit about UFC, NHL. That's not too bad. Apex stats.
Cool.
There was 90.5 billion tacticals used by Legends and more than 322 billion pings placed. Holy shit. 1 billion total respawns, 12 billion jump pads used, 24.6 billion zip lines used, and 5.3 billion items crafted. That's a lot of fucking stuff.
Yes.
But this one, I thought this one was fun. This one is probably about something that you and I have never talked about on this podcast. And it's got some pretty interesting stats that I'll just run through real quick. And
okay.
The Sims 4.
We have never talked about the Sims game, I think, in any podcast, on mic or off mic. So this will be this will be just exclusive content for us.
Okay, so The Sims 4 stats for EA, 529 million hours spent in live. Don't know what that means. 1.2 billion hours played.
Wow.
Most common death is old age, and 146 million hours spent in a Create a Sims mode. But, oh, wow, there's way more. Do you know anything about The Sims?
I do not.
274 million woohoos.
It's quite a bit of.
And the little graphic is a little heart over a house. And I think that might be talking about some getting nasty stuff. 376 million Sims created. 226 million hours spent in built mode. 11.3 million gallery uploads and 201 million gallery downloads. I'm assuming a gallery is a house.
I would assume so. Or how would that make sense to me?
Well, never mind. Last one for EA, because this episode's getting a little long and we're going to cut this shit out. The last one, EA Squadrons.
All right. Okay, that makes sense. Did you ever play that one? Because you're a Star Wars guy.
I did. It was cool.
And you like flying an X-Wing.
Yeah, that shit was tight. 923 million ships destroyed. The most picked New Republic / Imperial ship is the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter, which is obvious. Who doesn't want to fly in an X-Wing? The most popular dashboard bobblehead was a Grogu Baby Yoda one. And the quickest and or longest dogfight fleet battle match. So the fastest was 2.9 minutes. Holy shit. You want to take a ballpark guess at the longest? In minutes.
The longest battle. Let's go 120 minutes. That's 2 hours.
That would be insane. But the longest one is 77.1 minutes.
Wow, that's still pretty insane. Over an hour.
An hour, dude. That's fucking wild. That's dope. What's also interesting to see this stuff, dude, is like it makes me want to play these games again. Like, I would love to jump back into Squadrons just because of that. That's dope. I don't want to say I'd get into The Sims, but the fact that, you know, people have been playing this game for 1.2 billion hours is very fascinating. So, and Apex looks dope, too. Well, that was a kind of a little bonus section of the podcast. Went a lot longer than I thought it would. But definitely really good information because data is dope. You know, getting to see all this cool stuff and, you know, really wondering who's out there making 222.3 billion goals, you know. So I wish I had more of these on hand, but I think at this point we can save it for the next episode. You got anything else, Mikey B?
No, because we're going to talk about Sifu, but we haven't really played the game, but it's been getting good reviews.
Yeah, Sifu. I think Sifu was the game we talked about during the Game Awards last year, where it's the game where the game changes every time you die. Something happens once you die, and it really affects the whole outcome of the game. So playing a perfect game, I'm assuming, does wonders for your character or some shit. Which we can, you know, do a little bit more investigating for the next episode. So I've been joined with the homie Mikey B.
Oh, here we go. Here's a fun one. This is a good dad joke for all the dads out there, or teachers out there. This is a dad slash teacher joke. How does the ocean say hi? It waves.
Did it. Council boys are out. See ya. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Council Podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you really are missing out. On Instagram, follow us at the Gaming Council Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Council Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Council Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast-related, episode-wise, go to gamingcouncilpod.com.
The Council Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling life.
Council Boys are out.